trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul. So this morning we're going to talk about compassion. It is a theme with our brothers and sisters from Compassion International here today. And in one sense, to be honest, it feels like an interruption in that we are continuing to look at the promises of God, the power of holding on to promises. And I feel like there's a little more to that, but there's an interruption, and it's called compassion. And in some ways, I feel like that right there is a beautiful example of what compassion is all about. It's where, as we're going through life, we allow ourselves to be interrupted. The definition of compassion that I found to be wonderful and right in line with Scripture, right out of Merriam-Webster's dictionary, we can throw that up there. The sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, together with a desire to alleviate it. And that is right in line with the Word of God, with God's heart. You're going about your normal business, and I feel like it's so challenging and healthy for us to get interrupted by compassion. That this compassion of God, the love of God, really should be the foundation of everything that we're doing. But we all got to admit, we all got to be honest, we're not there yet. So what we can have our radar on for is to allow ourselves to be interrupted. And that those interruptions can get more frequent and less volatile till they become more and more of this is who we are and how we live. But for myself personally, and I think for all of us, given that we're not yet Jesus, we're not yet like Jesus, that compassion can be that call. Allow yourself to be interrupted from the status quo. Interrupted from the status quo of where we're focusing on ourselves and our life and just can get pigeonholed real easy. And then that interruption comes where there's that moment to enter into someone else's world, to have that sympathetic consciousness where we can feel what they feel and not leave it there, but want to do something with it. That this is, in fact, the heart of God. Jesus challenges us in this. And I love how allowing ourselves to be interrupted by compassion presses us right into the heart of God and presses us to be healthily challenged into the type of people that God's called us to be. I like being challenged because of the reality that I know that if I'm not being challenged in my faith, if I'm not being challenged to grow, if I'm not uncomfortable in some way, if I'm not sacrificing and dying to myself in some way, then I've probably got God in a box that looks a lot like me. If I'm totally comfortable, I'm probably just looking in the mirror and projecting it to God. So I love how Christianity, truly following Jesus, is that never-ending, healthy challenge that interrupts and says, here's what it looks like to further die to yourself and come alive into the fullness that Jesus has for you. And we have the courage to do it because there's no condemnation in Christ. That we're already, by receiving him and believing on him, according to John 1:14, have the right and the privilege to be called sons of God. Therefore, I can be a man of courage and say, therefore, God, all right, I'm ready to be challenged to grow where I need to grow. And compassion, that sympathetic consciousness where I'm willing to be interrupted from my own self-centeredness and feel what someone else would feel and then act on it. That's a healthy, healthy challenge. Jesus models this beautifully all over the place. There's, I think, not I think, I know, over a dozen places in the Gospels where it describes that what Jesus was doing was motivated by compassion. He's looking upon people. He's moved with compassion. They're sheep without a shepherd. They're harassed. They're helpless. They're suffering. And it's compassion. It's that sympathetic. He's getting into their world, feeling how they would feel, suffering with them, and then doing something about it. One of my favorites is right early in the book of Mark, where a leper comes to him. Verses 40 to 42, and he says, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus' simple response gives us a little insight into it. In verse 41, it says, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand, he touched him, and he said, I'm willing, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. But that little phrase, it gives us an insight into Jesus' motivation, moved with compassion. This is very visceral. It's gut level. It's wrenching. It's like, oh, something about this is not right. As Jesus allows himself to flow with compassion, He allows himself to enter into this man's world. What does it feel like to be a leper? What does it feel like to be outcasted, to be ostracized, to be told you're unclean, you're not worthy of God's love, you're not worthy of fellowship? And in a brief moment, Jesus feels all that, and it moves him. And he says, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not God's heart. Let me do something about it. And I think right there's a beautiful invitation for us to join Jesus' model and enter in to compassion. Because the challenge, when we see things that aren't right, that are that gut level, that is unjust, it's very tempting and easy to just turn the other way, to not press into it. Because sometimes it's overwhelming, sometimes there's nothing I can do, or I don't want to do, or maybe I don't like this leprosy in front of me. It's scary, it's foreign, it's different, it's dirty. And so there's that easy temptation to just turn away. But I love Jesus' challenge, his response, saying, if you want to walk in the heart of God, press in. When you're uncomfortable, press in. If you want to know God's heart, press in. If you want to walk in his power and his will and authority, press in. I had a fun encounter recently with a young lady who came and asked for prayer. And she was saying when she talked to people, pray with people, she would kind of feel a desire to cry, kind of feeling God's heart. But then it was like, she was saying, hey, you know what? I just don't like going there. That's scary. It's unknown. I don't, maybe it seems weak. I don't know what would happen if I just kept going. So I shut it down. And it was just this interesting, like, all right, this is compassion. And this is fascinating. We do have the choice to shut it down. And so he said, let's pray. Let's see what the Father wants to do. And it was just this sense of press in. If you want to be in communion with your Father, press in. You have the choice to turn it off, but if you want to walk in a greater measure of his presence, press into those moments. Let that flow. Don't shut it off, and watch how his heart expands in you. So we had a cool little prayer time. And then I got a report back like a week later. She said, oh man, you messed me up. That prayer messed me up. Now just I'm walking by people on the street, just even in short encounters, I just look at them and I can feel them. And I just start crying. And I'm like, I don't even know you. And I just am crying looking at you because I can feel God's heart for you. And she was like, you messed me up. And it was like, wow, that prayer worked for you better than it worked for me. Like, I want to do that too. But it was beautiful because it was like, you are walking in a greater measure of God's heart. You're communing with him. You're in his presence. And now you're walking in a greater measure of authority to see someone and release that. I mean, if you're walking up to a person and you're just crying, feeling God loves you so much, that's a great evangelism tool. It is. That's much better than, hey, do you know that you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus today? To have someone walk up to you just crying and wow, I feel God's love for you. That was beautiful to me. That was like, that's a Jesus style here. That's moved to enter into someone else's world, feel God's heart for them, and then be willing to act accordingly. And I feel like this is right where we have the opportunity as a church to shine. Where Jesus said, we will be known by love. We will be known by love. And Jesus uses those terms very interchangeably. In fact, when someone came to him and says, what is the greatest commandment? Very famously, love God, love your neighbor. But then he went right into the story about the Good Samaritan. And it's a fascinating story about compassion, allowing your life to be interrupted. It's a very famous story, you know it. A guy gets beat up, he's left for dead on the side of the road, and a priest and a Levite, which, by the way, are in the first century Jewish mind, these are the most holy people. A priest, okay, holy, a Levite, that's a priest that has the specific pure bloodline of the tribe of Levi. So this is like the two most holy perceived people. And they're not willing to be interrupted and move with God's heart flowing through them. And Jesus famously picks out this character that's all the wrong. The Samaritans were seen as half-breeds. They were the wrong ethnicity. They were the wrong class. They were the wrong religion. They had become syncretistic, whatever it is, combined Judaism with a bunch of other religions because they were exiled in Babylon and picked up a bunch of the other gods. And so it was seen as all sorts of impurities. Yet Jesus holds him up so ironically as he's the hero. Why? Well, he simply allowed himself to be interrupted, to feel what the man might be feeling, allowing the heart of God to then flow through him with action. And I love this challenge. This gets me excited because of how challenging it is to put into my present day and not just say, oh, cool, nice story, Jesus, but to say, if I'm the listener, the first century Jew, who is it that offends me? Who is it that I would not want to see as the hero of a story? Who is it that I wouldn't want to help? Who is it that I see just as so different and other that it would be hard for me to grasp that they could do something good or that I would want to help them? And Jesus says, right there, that's what the kingdom's about. I mean, he goes on to explicitly say that in Matthew 5. The heart of compassion. We'll get it up there and we'll have a read. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor. That's the standard. That's the easy one, right? Well, that's not even easy in itself. And hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be a reflection of your Father in heaven, children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors, which were like the worst of sinners, the most godless people, don't they do that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than the others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If that doesn't challenge you, you're either Jesus or you're not listening. Like, what? But I love this. I love this because if this relationship with God is real, and the promise and invitation and challenge to transformation is real, then by gosh, it better be hard or I'm just going to keep being me. And I'm not perfect. So Jesus challenges us, says, let this be that vision that's out in front of you that pulls you towards the best you that you could be. And I hate that phrase. I don't even know why I just said it, but it's the fullness, the transformed Jesus. Let that vision go out there of this is what's possible, of who you can be in the full redeemed picture of humanity, fully alive, with God's heart flowing through you. You can be able. This is not, Jesus says this, the whole Sermon on the Mount is not, here's all the things you could never do, so feel guilty and make sure you have Jesus as your Savior. Though it does that, Jesus thinks this stuff is actually possible. He's giving you pictures of life in the kingdom. This new way, the kingdom of God is at hand, and here's what it looks like, that we would be so enraptured by the love of God, knowing that I am the leper to God. I am the Samaritan. I am the offensive one. I am the pagan. I am the tax collector. Yet, God so loved me that I can extend that same love. I can be moved with compassion. I can let that be my first lens, not my last resort. You see, there's all these people here that, you know, there's all sorts of reasons to judge and condemn and say, oh, this is what you're doing wrong and that's what you're doing wrong. And Jesus is over and over and over trying to say, let compassion be your first filter. Let yourselves be known by love. Let yourself be moved with the heart of God that wants to bless. He makes the rain to shine on the unrighteous and the righteous. His love is unconditional, it's lavish, and that's what he wants the church to hit the world in the face with, is this, wow, the way they love. Wow, the lens they have, where they just might walk up to you and start crying, so full of this undeserved, unconditional, lavish goodness. And I like this. I like how far I am from this. It makes me realize how true God is. What an adventure we're called to. We're not called to just can believe a few nice things, but really just go about your status quo on your own strength. No, this is radical. I've got to die to myself if this is going to happen. And I can say, to the degree that I have, and come alive, there is nothing like this. This is when you feel fully alive, when you can walk up to a neighbor and cry because you feel God is so good and loves them so much and you just want to pass it on. And let love be your first lens, compassion be your first lens. That is so much better of a way to live. And so I love that this morning we get to be interrupted by compassion. Because in some ways, this is just coming back to the heart of what it's all about. That we would be a people that are known by love. And as we close our day, I do want to challenge us to a specific action, which would be, I would like to challenge all of us to consider a response this morning by sponsoring a child. This is certainly not the only response of compassion, but I feel like it is a wonderful one, a healthy one. We've done it in our family for years. One of the favorite memories I have of Christmas morning is when we told the kids, all right, guys, we have $100 to bless our child, our sponsored child, with Christmas presents, and to see the excitement that they had to go through the catalog and choose gifts for someone else on Christmas morning, to think of someone else. That was a beautiful moment for us. And there's so many things about the compassion experience. If you haven't already sponsored a child, my wife and I have been doing that since before we were married, and then we combined them and had a few kids together, biologically and spiritually. But it's easy to get overwhelmed with a world around us that has so many issues and problems. But I would say I believe this is extremely healthy for all of us to challenge ourselves to the generosity of one child. And there is some incredible hope going on right now in the world with the serious possibility that extreme poverty can be eradicated in our generation. That's never been possible before. But in the last 25 years, extreme poverty has been cut in half based on the grassroots movement of organizations like Compassion International. There's still, I think, 1.4 billion people in extreme poverty, which they define that as living on less than $1.25 a day and not having access to the resources. That's a huge one in poverty. There's not even an access to resources like healthcare and education. And so that's where the cycle gets so vicious in repeating. It's not even an option to go to school. It's not even an option to get healthcare. And so some tragic things happen because of that. But in the last 25 years, that number has come down by half. And the statistics say if that same progress continues, that there will be no one on the planet in extreme poverty by that World Health Organization definition by the year 2030. That's not that far away. So there is so much hope stirring around right now from everyday folks saying one exercise of compassion to sponsor a child. And Compassion is an incredible company. They're Christ-centered. They're local church-based, so they go in and they just empower local churches. It's very holistic. It's about their education. It's about their hygiene, their health, their spiritual health by encountering and knowing Jesus. And so I would encourage you, this can be big and this can be small in the sense of like it's overwhelming. But as Mother Teresa said, there are no, let me make sure I don't get it messed up. Sorry. I want Mother Teresa to speak for herself. She's awesome. Maybe I didn't even write it down. There it is. We can do no great things. So think about this woman, what she did. We can do no great things, only small things with great love. And I think that's a beautiful way to funnel all of this heart of God, allowing ourselves to be interrupted. Don't get overwhelmed with the 1.4 billion, whatever that means. Ah, but just say, hey, small things, great love. All right, church, we're going to close in prayer. Join us.
Jesus, we thank you that your heart is a heart of love. We thank you that you want to bring your kingdom, not only here, but everywhere in the entire world. And Jesus, we just thank you for inviting us into your heart. And I ask that as we just consider partnering with you and bringing your kingdom in a child's life, in their family's life, in the community, that we would just connect with the opportunity to commune with your heart. That as we pray once a week even for them and take time to listen to your heart for them, that not only can we count on our resources and the power from the prayer, changing their lives and changing their country and bringing your kingdom and your goodness and your freedom, but we can also completely count on and expect our hearts being changed by the devastatingly wonderful love of a father. Yes. that loves this world from death to life. and died to bring that.
Yes, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us the courage to continue pursuing a life with you where we allow ourselves to be interrupted by your compassion. And I pray for that ongoing revelation that the book of Romans talks about, that the love of God by the Holy Spirit's power is shed abroad in our hearts, that we would be a people that walk around just messed up by your love, and that we have that lens of compassion first to pass on to every single person we encounter. Thank you that this is your will for us. We pray that it be done more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing a new song. I will dance a new dance now.